If you're 52 or younger, unemployment has never before been this low. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. The big reports on hiring and unemployment this morning show an economy that remains strong despite higher interest rates and talk of recession. 223,000 more people were getting paychecks last month. That's more than expected. A separate survey also finds the unemployment rate dropping in December from 3.7 to 3.5%, with more people coming off the sidelines and into the labor market. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Can't keep a good labor market down. Solid gains for people on payrolls, but you're very focused on the unemployment rate. That's from the survey of households.
What happened in December is that we had a very strong rise in household employment. The rise in December was enough to take the unemployment rate down to a new cycle low. In fact, the lowest since May of 1969. And, that's the kind of thing the Fed notices. In fact, their minutes on Wednesday from the December FOMC meeting were so focused on efforts to boost the unemployment rate. And here we are, December of 2022, reversing all of the progress they made last year.
Down to 3.5%. You do have some increases in wages, which concern the Fed, but the increase in December wasn't as big as November, and that is cheering some people in the stock market.
It honestly does mean the Fed has time. They can breathe easier. In fact, in November, average hourly earnings were running at more than a 5% rate. That's gone because November was revised down from 0.6% to 0.4%. And then in December, when the forecast was 0.4, it came in at 0.3. And what it looks like when you step back and look at the course of the year, wage pressure actually fell through 2022, despite the fact that the unemployment rate reached a new low at the end of the year. I think the market is focused more on wages because, of course, that's the direct way that labor affects price inflation. And ultimately, getting price inflation down is the Fed's job.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The retailer Bed Bath & Beyond has not filed for bankruptcy protection, but multiple sources report it is considering the move after getting it wrong when the economy surged following the worst of the pandemic, along with the emerging realization now that its holiday sales were disappointing. Marketplace's Nova Suffo reports.
Bed Bath & Beyond said there is substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a going concern, and it is considering all strategic alternatives, including refinancing its debt or filing for bankruptcy. The retailer has been unable to recover from a failed strategic shift to focus more on its own private label products. In a regulatory filing, it said it had reduced levels of inventory in stores during the first half of the holiday shopping period and lower customer traffic. The company expects to report a sales decline of 33% in the 3 months ending just after Thanksgiving, compared to the same period a year earlier, and a loss of nearly $400 million. It's also laden with a heavy debt burden, with interest payments due on February 1st. The Reuters news agency says company executives may skip those payments to conserve cash as they prepare to file for bankruptcy protection in the coming weeks. We'll find out more when Bed Bath & Beyond reports its latest quarterly financial results on Tuesday. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
This week, the State Department launched an initiative to break down barriers keeping women around the world from participating in the economy. But in some places, those barriers are only getting higher. A few weeks ago in Afghanistan, the Taliban government prohibited women from attending universities there. That's in addition to a ban on women going to high school. The Costs of not educating women are felt by individuals and their communities, but also have far-reaching economic consequences. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has our report.
In late December, 18-year-old Waranga Arif had just finished her last exam of the semester at Nangarhar University in eastern Afghanistan, and she was feeling good.
I really had a very good exam, and I was just about to switch on my computer and watch a movie. Suddenly, my brother told me that your university's banned, and it was the worst feelings ever.
Arif had been studying civil engineering and said being cut off from school felt like being deprived of oxygen. She's been trying to keep up with her lessons by watching YouTube videos at home on things like linear equations. And she says Afghanistan needs civil engineers like her to build things like bridges and dams.
Everything we need, the material of roads are not good, so we need an engineer for highways and for other things.
According to the United Nations, in 2018, about 90,000 women in Afghanistan were enrolled in higher education. That's a small fraction of the total female population, but still a 1,700% increase from 2001. Now female enrollment in both college and high school is likely closer to zero, estimates Quentin Wooden. He's an economist with UNESCO and did a study that found the cost of not educating girls through high school is between $15 and $30 trillion in lost lifetime productivity and earnings.
If you are better educated, you are more likely to be in the labor force, to be working, right?
And you're likely to make more money. Other benefits? Educated women are likely to have healthier children, are less likely to get married as children themselves, and more likely to influence other girls.
When you have women who are role models as teachers or head of schools, that gives an additional incentive for girls, adolescent girls, to stay in school.
But the Taliban's laws are meant to ensure that adolescent girls don't become formally educated women.
My dream was to be a pilot.
15-year-old Sofia Oria lives in Kabul with her parents, grandparents, and two younger brothers. She had to leave 10th grade in August 2021 and had been taking English classes at a nearby university when the most recent ban went into effect.
I want to try new things, but in this situation, I can't do it.
Oria's dad was a flight attendant, but is now out of work, and her mom is working as a tailor. Oria says it's her responsibility to get an education and eventually earn money. She's now looking to both online classes and perhaps education abroad to try to make that happen. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
It's developing into a busy day for markets, money, and will the economic agenda of Congress start to move forward given the continued fight over Republican leadership of the House of Representatives? Question mark. Listen to the half hour of Marketplace later today with my colleague Kai Rizdal on most public radio stations or streaming from marketplace.org. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dooler and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.